Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bethel Covenant Church podcast, where we host the latest sermons and other programming. You can also visit us on Facebook and YouTube to watch videos of our sermons, checking up with the latest updates, and to view further programming. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit our website at bethelcov.org. Thank you for listening to this program.
Please stand with me as you're able, and we're going to sing a song, of course, to prepare ourselves for the message, but also a little preview of what it will be like tonight as we gather and sing as we sing Christmas carols for our Christmas Eve service. So let's sing together. And oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. And O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
What is the hardest part about giving a gift for you? Is it just thinking of what that person may want? Is it finding it once you know what you want to give? Is it ordering it on time so that it arrives in the mail? Maybe once it comes, the hardest part is trying to hide it so that other person, if they are in the house with you, won't discover it and see what the gift will be. Maybe the hardest part is finding wrapping paper to wrap it in. I thought we had more here somewhere. Or is the hardest part, choosing ribbon. One might think a ribbon is a ribbon is a ribbon, but this is not true. Here are just some of the choices that you have to consider when adding a ribbon to your gift. There's the 3/16-inch red curling ribbon. If you don't want to curl the ribbon, then there's the 1.5-inch emerald green metallic ribbon. Or maybe you want a ribbon that says Merry Christmas on it, so you're going to choose that one. Or you don't want one with words, but you want one with patterns, and that's something that you decide with, but then you realize there is an infinite amount of different patterned ribbons that you have to choose from. And then there's ribbon with wire, and you think that's pretty neat, so perhaps you go that way. And you thought figuring out what to get was the hardest part. No, it's the ribbon. You could just, my suggestion, just go with a nice bow. There you go. Poof. Take off the sticker onto the package. When we use the word love, This too has a possibility of different meanings. Love isn't love, is it love? It all depends on the context. When someone uses the word love, it's natural to wonder, when you say love, do you mean love? Or when you say love, do you mean like? Or when you say love, do you mean love as in like L-U-V? L-U-V love is different than L-O-V-E love. There's romantic love. There's friendship love. There's family love. There's love of an object. There is love of an experience. We might love listening to music while sitting by the fireplace and drinking hot chocolate. There is love for the hurting, for the downcast, for people who need help. There is love for dogs and cats and horses. There's love for gardens and flowers and plants. There's love for running and biking, love of cooking, love of reading books, love of painting, love of playing games. We can have love for children. We can have a love for the elderly. We can have love for our neighbors, and we have a love for God. Love is both shallow and deep. Love is easy to understand and yet confusing and hard to figure out. The teenager says, I'm in love, and you say, are you sure you know what you're saying? Love is natural for people to do, and yet at times, hard to continue. Love will shine bright, and it will fade. Why is that? Why wouldn't love just shine bright all the time? Just like there are different kinds of ribbon, there are different kinds of love. In the ancient Greek, there are eight different words in the Greek. We have basically one in English, but the Greek has love eight different ways. Romantic, passionate love, affectionate love, selfless, universal love, familiar love, obsessive love, playful love, enduring love, self-love. The two Greek words that we usually see in the New Testament are agape, or agapo, a variation of that, and that filial, or the philia, love. Agape love is sometimes described as unconditional love. It's the highest form of love, where the object of love is seen as being valued forever, precious in the sight of the one who is giving the love. This is God's love for us. And it is the love that we are to have for God and for others. The philia love is an affection love, and it's used for doing those things that are pleasant. I love to open Christmas gifts, or I love to give Christmas gifts. In our passage this morning that I read from that 1 John, every time that love was being used in our English, it was agape, or agapo, a variation of. That unconditional love is the highest ideal. Agape love is a selfless love, and that is a great goal. This is the gift that Jesus gives us. Again, in our Advent series, we are looking at the different gifts that Jesus gives us, and we're reminded of it as we look at the Advent wreath. Week one was hope, week two was peace, week three was joy, week four today is love. Now, there's a unique aspect to this gift, to love, and that is it's a gift that not only Jesus helps us to experience and express, like the first three gifts, but this is also an emotion that Jesus feels for us, which is also a gift. So love, in my mind, is a twofold gift. The first part here, like the other gifts, through our faith and walk with Jesus, we are able to love with a supernatural love. Again, going back to those other gifts that we are celebrating and remembering, we say that Jesus gives us hope. Because of Jesus, we are people of hope. We say that Jesus gives us joy. Because of Jesus, we have joy in our lives. Same thing with love. Because of Jesus, we have love. We are able to love beyond what we would otherwise be able to do as humans. I'm going to expound on that in a bit. humans without Jesus can experience. They can experience hope, peace, joy, love. Someone may say, I don't need faith, I don't need Jesus, I experience these things, which is true. I will admit that that is true. People can experience those things without Jesus. But it would be fleeting and fading. Without Jesus, those emotions would come and go. Here for a bit, and then gone, based on circumstances. It is through Jesus in us, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, that these gifts are permanent. And to be sure, the closer that you walk with Jesus, the stronger those gifts will be in your life. The second part of the gift of love, which makes it different than the other gifts, is that we can say Jesus loves you. God loves you. We don't necessarily say that about the other gifts. We don't say Jesus hopes you, or Jesus has his hope in you. We don't say that. We might say that you are the joy of Jesus at times, but really, I think biblically, the joy of Jesus is his Father in heaven. He isn't looking to people to bring him joy. And the point being is that as God loves us, that too is a gift. So the two parts are, Jesus enables us to love, and Jesus loves us. To be loved is a gift. That is part of the gift, to be loved. God helps us to love because we need help. We need help. In my observation of people, including myself, I love imperfectly. We often miss on how to give that ideal agape love. Most of our love is conditional. For some, that could be all that you know, and by default, this is the only way that you know how to love. The love that was given to you was based on how you acted and how you think. And then, again, in some ways, to no fault of your own, this is how you, a person, might give love. You love those that act the way that you want them to act. You love those that think the way you want them to think. You will give love to those who sort of fall in line with your conditions. Our politics is a quick test of this. What do you think about a transgendered, gay, banned guns Democrat who wants to give women the choice to abort a pregnancy? Is your feeling for them love? Is there people in your life that you have a relationship that think different than you politically? Or what do you think about a heterosexual, Jesus is the only way, free market capitalist Republican who thinks that all people should have medical decision power for themselves, especially in regards to certain vaccines, and yet we need to protect the unborn because the unborn child would always choose life for themselves? Is your feeling for them love? In either scenario, whether your answer is yes or no, you may be just showing conditional love. In fact, looking at the news, that's what the news teaches us to do. It tells us to withhold love towards those who think and act and look different. Our natural human way to love is conditional love. Conditional love is manipulative love. I give credit here to @JakeWoodward. And a lot of my slides, I'm just pulling off the internet. Some things I do create, so just so people know this, but for me just to say this outright, I'm pulling a lot of slides, pictures that fall in line with what I'm saying. I came across this list, which I think lines up. Conditional love. If you behave or believe the way I want you to behave or believe, then I will love you. Conditional manipulative love can be easy to do, and sometimes it happens without us even trying or meaning to be manipulative. I'm remembering at one of our family gatherings, Christmas gatherings, a number of years ago, we were at the time in our gathering to do presents, and there was adults and there was kids, but before presents, you had to take pictures, annual Christmas pictures. And it isn't just snap and we're all set. There's each family has to take a picture. Just the grandkids have to take a picture. Grandkids with grandma and grandpa have to take a picture. And on you go. And true to form, every year, there's at least one child who would rather not have their picture be taken. And so they act out in one way or another. The older kids know the deal. The sooner you do the pictures, the sooner you get to the gifts. Let's do the pictures. Here we go. The younger ones have to learn this. And in our gathering, an adult says, if you don't do the picture, then no gifts for you. And in that moment, when I heard that, I just thought, what they were saying is, I want you to behave. And if you don't behave, I'm going to withhold my love. I thought the punishment was way too big for the misbehavior. No gifts for you. It can be hard to love. It can be hard to love well. That agape, selfless, unconditional love is the highest ideal, one that Jesus has for us. And when it comes to giving gifts, it's one that God enables us to give. God enables us to give the gift of love because of his character. Love comes from God, 1 John 4:7. God is love, verse 8. We are able to love because of God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. It is hard to love. It is hard to love well. And sometimes we are unable to love in our human power. As humans, we are limited in what we can give. But with God, we are able to overcome all situations and provide a love that comes from God. This is what Joseph had to do in our Christmas story when Jesus is being born. Matthew 1, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph is able to love Mary with a human love. It's the classic boy meets girl, girl meets boy plot. Human love, though, has human limits. During their engagement, Joseph could see Mary cheated on him. He could see it. Her pregnant body brought him to the conclusion, you cheated on me, and now it's time to get a divorce. Culturally, it says they were pledged to be married, when that was a stronger commitment than our engagement nowadays. It's very similar, but pledged to be married, you had to like officially end the relationship. So he was going to go through the process of ending it. Joseph was ready to divorce Mary. His thinking was, you wronged me. You betrayed me. You hurt me. You cheated on me. And so the relationship that never really started, it's now over. To be wronged, to be cheated on, to be betrayed would be a painful experience. It would be hard for anyone, not just Joseph, for anyone to respond in love. Our human love has limits. And we see that with Joseph. Joseph, though, did not divorce Mary. Continuing on in Matthew 1, But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Who had ever heard of such a thing? Never in all of human history has anyone ever become pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So even though he had this dream, a dream that must have felt very real, Joseph still could have divorced Mary. He still could have said, I don't know about this. This is not my kid. I really think she was with another man. Joseph decides, though, to take Mary as his wife, not only because of this message from God in a dream, but also because of his love for God. And because of a love that comes from God that is given to Joseph for Mary. What we see in this Christmas story is the impact of Jesus in people's life. Jesus impacted his earthly father, Joseph, enabling him to love his earthly mother, Mary, even though Joseph felt hurt and betrayed. Joseph chose to believe in God. He maybe still had some love for Mary, but it was a love that God gave him that enabled him to deepen his love for Mary, to deepen his commitment to her and to the child that she was bearing. God wanted Joseph to love Mary, even though the culture said it would be okay to divorce her. Everyone in our life is going to hurt us on some level at some point, every single person. We can often let go of the small stuff. Yet, the small stuff can add up. And one more small incident hits us in a big way and causes a wound. Sometimes in our life, we are hurt by the big stuff. There are big wounds that happen. Maybe it was a parent that was too harsh, always pointing out what we did wrong and rarely pointing out what made them proud. Maybe it's a spouse that is emotionally distant. At one time, they were quick to respond, to be in tune with our emotions, but then over time, they become more recluse and cold. It could be a child that is unkind. The child feels that they are entitled and act in ways that are cruel and mean. Maybe it's a boss that treats you unfairly, or a coworker that is biased towards you for one reason or another. It could be sexism or ageism or racism. Maybe it's someone here at church. Something happened at some point that caused pain and hurt feelings. In your mind, it was intentional, and so you hold it against that person, and you hold it against the church. It would be hard to love the other person in our life in any of these situations. Our human love could not do it. There are limits. So listen to the good news for us today and why the gift of love is so important. God's love in us, God's love for us, and God's love through us can love the other. This is the impact that Jesus has in our life and is the gift that Jesus gives us. And here's the question to consider. Do you want to love those in your life in a deeper way? Is that something that you want to do? In particular, those that have hurt you. And if the answer is no, then there's nothing to do. But if the answer is yes, the path forward is not to try harder. The path forward is not to dig deeper. It is not to put more human effort into it. The path forward, interestingly enough, is to deepen your love for God. For your love for God, it is your love for God that enables you and empowers you to provide a love to others. Mark 12, 28 through 30. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, and asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," Jesus said, answered, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Why love God? To the extent that we love God, we are then able to love the world with the love of God. Our love for God impacts, fuels, and drives our love to those people, those parts of our life where human love falls short. The nature of love, no matter the object of love, is one where at times it will shine bright and at other times it will fade. This is also true when we think about loving God, when it comes to loving God. If your answer was yes to wanting to deepen your love for others, the next question is how bright is your love for God? How bright is it today, this week, this stage in your life? There's a direct correlation between your love of God and the love that you have for people in your life. May this Christmas be a season and the new year ahead be one where your love of God grows, knowing that it will enable you to deepen your love for those in your life. As we think about this gift of love that Jesus gives us, we see that God loves us. This is a twofold gift. God loves us, and God enables us to love. And yet it can be hard to love. This is the nature of love. When it's hard to love, the answer is not to try harder or just look for what is lovable in the other person. The answer is actually found in the greatest commandment, which is to deepen our love for God. When we, as we, because we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we are then filled with a supernatural love, a love that goes beyond our human limits. And is that not the greatest gift? To be loved and then to love. May it be so with you this day and this week. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for creating us to be beings of love, naturally, human. We have that. We know what that is. And then by your Spirit, by your Son, by the indwelling of your presence in our lives, to go beyond that. For situations that cause hurt and pain, I pray for healing, wisdom, for individuals to know how to move forward, to know how to love well and what that means and what that would look like. But ultimately, Lord, that you would enable us to do that and that you would be glorified in our lives through that. We pray in your name. Amen.